Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with troubling questions raised in investigative reports by the BBC that, in spite of Trump's talk of bombing the bleep out of ISIS and General Mattis's promise to annihilate ISIS, it seems that some kind of deal was made to allow ISIS fighters to escape from Raqqa. And according to truck drivers who ferried the terrorists to safety, there were huge numbers of foreign fighters among the evacuated ISIS survivors who will likely go on to cause mayhem in the West. Mike Lofgren, who spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees, whose latest book is The Deep State, The Fall of the Constitution and the Rise of the Shadow Government, joins us. We will discuss his article at the Washington Monthly, The Trump Scandal That Democrats Aren't Talking About, Did ISIS Escape Raqqa with Trump's Connivance, and try to understand how the world's most dangerous jihadists were allowed to live to fight another day, and whether there will be an inquiry into what happened, given how much time, money, and attention was devoted to the phony Benghazi story that pales in comparison. Then we'll examine the Trump administration's reversal of an Obama-era ban on the importation of elephant trophies from big game hunting, which was a result of a suit by Safari Club International and the NRA to block Obama's 2014 ban. George Wittemeyer, a professor in Colorado State University's Department of Fish, Wildlife and Conservation Biology, who was the chairman of the Scientific Advisory Board of Save the Elephants in Africa, joins us to discuss the rapidly diminishing populations of African elephants who have been listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act since 1978. Then, finally, we will speak with The Guardian's former Moscow bureau chief, who was expelled from the country by the Kremlin, about his new book just out, Collusion, How Russia Helped Trump Win the White House. Luke Harding, who knows Julian Assange and Edward Snowden well, and has interviewed the author of the Steele dossier, Christopher Steele, joins us to discuss why Steele believes his dossier on Trump's collusion with the Russians is between 70 and 90% accurate, and why Steele feels he will be vindicated as the special counsel's investigation digs deeper into Trump and his family and associates' contacts and collusion with Russians close to Putin. And joining us now is Mike Lofgren, who spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Party Is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted. And his latest book is The Deep State, The Fall of the Constitution and the Rise of a Shadow Government. And he has an article at the Washington Monthly, The Trump Scandal That Democrats Aren't Talking About, Did ISIS Escape Raqqa with Trump's Connivance? Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Lofgren.
Good to be here.
And Mike, there is some confusion about this story, and obviously the BBC's been doing an investigation into it. But unfortunately, I don't know that anybody much in the U.S. media has been onto this story. I recall that the convoy of ISIS fighters was shattered by the U.S. And that at some point or other, they did bomb it. But on the other hand, the truck drivers who ferried them out, these fighters out, said that there were an awful lot of foreign fighters amongst them. They were able to bring not just their families, but lots and lots of military hardware and ammunition with them. And that they kind of escaped, they went into Turkey or somewhere. So fill us in on what you know happened there and why this is a story that both the press and the Democrats should be picking up on.
Well, to emphasize, we've heard about how Trump was going to bomb the expletive deleted out of ISIS. Mattis said they would annihilate them. It's well known that if they're like an antibiotic resistant germ, if you don't get them all, they're going to spread. And yet somehow, according to the BBC, the United States, Britain, and the other coalition partners acquiesced in this deal that would, and I need to emphasize this, these people were not supposed to allow foreign fighters out of it, just Syrian fighters, but according to the truck drivers, there were Europeans, there were Chinese, there were from all over the place, and they were supposedly allowed to take their family members. But there was such a suspiciously high proportion of so-called family members to fighters that one has to wonder how many of them were actually hostages. Now, the Jerusalem Post has reported that some of those were ISIS's sex slaves. So there's all kinds of things involved. Yes, they were allowed to take out small arms, but they were allowed also to take out so much ammunition that one truck driver complained the weight of the ammunition broke the axle of his truck. So this one, given the fact that it's been a month and we haven't heard anything about it in the U.S. media, let alone from the administration, is very troubling.
But where did these people, where were they dropped off? And where did they, why were they allowed to sort of melt back? I believe they melted back across the border into Turkey.
Where they went is anyone's guess. Some of them did, according to the Turks themselves, did get into Turkey. As for the rest of them, they might be working their way back to France or Britain or who knows where. And it's important to point out, I'm not insensitive to the humanitarian aspects. How much would you bomb Raqqa? How many civilians would you potentially kill? But didn't the administration and didn't James Mattis, who's an experienced ex-general, didn't they know this going in? Didn't they know this was a possibility? Why did they set us up for the belief that ISIS would be annihilated? Why did they withhold the information that this had occurred? Perhaps there's a perfectly good explanation if they did a cost-benefit analysis, but I would really like to see the relevant administration official testify under oath to a congressional committee on that. What are the rationales for this?
Right, but who made the deal, and who was the, I mean, who was the deal made with? In other words, did the U.S. participate in negotiating this deal? I assume it was made with Assad's government and, by extension, the Russians and the Iranians and Hezbollah. But who was negotiating on the other side?
Well, supposedly it was between ISIS and the Syrian Democratic Forces, the sort of anti-Assad but also anti-ISIS indigenous group that we have sponsored. Now, since we sponsored them, and because the BBC said we more or less agreed or at least acquiesced to this, we were involved. So I look at this as our agreeing to this. Now, we've heard just in the last 12 hours or so from Reuters that the French are now saying, oh, we didn't agree to this. I'd like to hear what the American excuse is.
Well, it's hard to understand that these people who are so determined, these jihadists, and who have already demonstrated that they want to return home and kill as many people within their home countries as possible, their former countries as possible, that the U.S. would or anybody would allow them to basically get safe passage and then be able to sort of melt into the underground and end up blowing up people in Paris and London, etc. So that to me, ought to be, you know, that ought to, if that's what we're talking about here, if you say the French are not happy about it, well, a lot of these, apparently, these foreign fighters, according to the truck drivers, were French. So I don't understand how this could have happened and why there isn't an inquiry. I guess that's what you're calling for, right?
Absolutely. And my suspicion is the United States government did not just acquiesce in what Syrian defense forces, democratic forces on the ground agreed to. Mm-hmm. This may have been a part of a bigger deal with these satrapies in the Gulf, these Sunni tyrannies like Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and so forth, that so hate Iran that they keep ISIS, who are Shia, hating Sunni extremists, around as an asset. We know that Saudi Arabia has had many connections, financial and logistic, to setting up these types of extremist Sunni terrorist groups. And we also know how acquiescent Trump is to the whole Saudi operation. When he was on his trip there, he praised them lavishly. By coincidence, in the last few years, the Saudis have bought many Trump properties or invested in them. So he has a personal financial interest in that. And, of course, his cabinet secretaries, Rex Tillerson and Wilbur Ross, were doing a ridiculous sword dance at some Saudi confab, which I think might have been a little beneath the dignity of a cabinet officer, but they had to put on a show for their hosts.
Well, it's all very mysterious. And as you say, there's a great need for a investigation, largely because the Trump people said they were going to do it better than the Obama people. And if they let these guys go and made some kind of deal with the Saudis or whoever they made the deal with, that's going to come back to haunt them, and they ought to be held accountable, surely. I mean, there was no there with Benghazi, and they wasted millions on that, and they're still going on about it on Fox News. So.
Right. And most Americans aren't even aware of this one. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it bears emphasis that there is a humanitarian issue to be made regarding civilians, but we don't know what sort of cost-benefit trade-off was made, and we need to hear that. Right. And in any case, I'm not convinced that the Trump administration is terribly concerned about civilian casualties. They widened the criteria by which drone strikes could be made despite collateral damage. As an example taken from elsewhere in the government, Trump appointed through Pruitt, the EPA head, as head of the Science Advisory Board, someone named Michael Honeycutt, who thinks poisoning by mercury is overblown, even though it's been known to be a powerful neurotoxin since the 19th century.
Well, we could spend the rest of the night talking about all these hideous appointments and how they're all.
But the point is, they don't really care about the health and safety of people.
Right.
We've seen that with another one of their science advisors thinks, quote, clean air is a little too clean for optimum health.
Well, Mike, I'm afraid we've run out of time here today, but I want to stay in touch with you and see what happens with this story and whether the BBC report is picked up by some of the investigative people over here. I thank you for joining us.
Thanks, and it's good to be here.
Thank you. And again, I'm speaking with Mike Lofgren, who spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate Budget Committees. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Party Is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted. And his latest book is The Deep State, The Fall of the Constitution and the Rise of the Shadow Government. And he has an article at The Washington Monthly, The Trump Scandal That Democrats Aren't Talking About. Did ISIS Escape Raqqa with Trump's Connivance? We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back looking into Trump's reversal of a ban on trophy hunting elephants.